I danced in the morning when the world was begun, and I danced in the moon and the stars and the sun, and I came down from heaven and I danced on the earth. At Bethlehem I had my birth. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. Bum, 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 bum. I danced on the Sabbath and I cured the lame. The holy people said it was a shame. They whipped and they stripped and they hung me high and left me there on a cross to die. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. I danced on a Friday when the sky turned black. It's hard to dance with the devil on your back. They buried my body, and they thought I'd gone. But I am the dance, and the dance goes on. They cut me down, and I leapt up high. I am the life that'll never, never die. I'll live in you if you'll live in me. I am the Lord of the dance, said he. Dance then wherever you may be. I am the Lord of the dance, said he, and I'll lead you all wherever you may be, and I'll lead you all in the dance, said he. Said he. Said he. Dance! Said he. That's a song that we did this last Sunday, my choir at St. Mark's Episcopal Church, and I always kind of enjoy singing it, and it's what basically I couldn't get out of my head all week, so I thought I'd inflict it on our listeners, and no, I hope you enjoyed it. I am Chuck Gregory. This is the New American Dream Radio Show, and we are streaming live on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. It's listener-supported radio, so head on over to freedomslips.com or revolution.radio and find that donation button. Show them some love. I am very proud now to introduce my friend and co-host, Mike Palachek, an American writer.
Hello, Chuck. Tonight, we welcome these special guests, Philip Peruvio, Frank Cordero, and Dr. Alan Salarian. So this Thursday evening, we're gathering for the New American Dream Radio Show in Fort Lauderdale, in Port Orange, in Des Moines, Iowa, in northern Minnesota, in Athens, Greece, and wherever you are. I recommend taking the time to take a look at, for the first one, informationclearinghouse.org. So many articles on Venezuela. We need to know the truth. Don't watch TV news. Seriously, don't do it. Informationclearinghouse.org. Also recommended regarding the ongoing lawsuit, alleged Sandy Hook parent Leonard Posner's suit against myself, Moonrock Books, and Jim Fetzer. Go to Jim's website, jamesfetzer.org, and click on this story in the recent posts section on the right-hand side. Sandy Hook lawsuit discovery, request for admissions from plaintiff Leonard Posner. Also find more at Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N, magazine.us, the January issue, Jim Fetzer versus the Deep State. Also recommended globalresearch.ca. This article is Sanctions of Mass Destruction, America's War on Venezuela. And here's a clip from that. Over the past 5 years, American sanctions have cut Venezuela off from most financial markets, which have caused local oil production to plummet. Consequently, Venezuela has experienced the largest decline in living standards of any country in recorded Latin American history. Prior to American sanctions, socialism in Venezuela had reduced inequality and poverty, whilst pensions expanded. During the same time period in America, it has been the absolute reverse. President Chavez funneled Venezuela's oil revenues into social spending, such as healthcare, education, food networks, and housing construction. In order to fully understand why America is waging economic war on the people of Venezuela, one must analyze the historical relationship between the petrodollar system and sanctions of mass destruction. And that article is Sanctions of Mass Destruction, America's War on Venezuela, at globalresearch.ca. Also, before you ever turn on the television, please visit Common Dreams and Democracy Now. Democracy Now, this one, Trump's Venezuela envoy, Elliot Abrams, is a war criminal who has abetted genocide. On Democracy Now! And at Common Dreams, all sorts of important issues addressed every day. And of course, we have to continue to point out that these two outstanding websites will have nothing to do with reporting the truth about 9/11, Boston, Sandy Hook, Oklahoma City, etc., etc. And just as with Jon Stewart and Comedy Central, we have to ask, is this because they have studied the evidence, rolled it around in their hands, and found it wanting? Or is it because, well, what would be the reason for that? Because we have come to understand that since 1963 and even before, we have lived in a state, a nation, a republic ruled by deception, we understand that any newspaper publisher, magazine editor, radio show host, TV news show host who persists in still telling us that Osama bin Laden was buried at sea, who still tells us that the plane in Shankshire disappeared into that little hole in the ground, who still tells us that Lee Harvey Oswald killed John Kennedy, that James Earl Ray killed Martin King, that Robert Kennedy was murdered by Sirhan Sirhan. Well, they deserve nothing but, they've earned nothing but our convulsive, doubled over laughter. And now we find the same every day and these days regarding Venezuela, how the mainstream media and selected lapdogs like Senator Marco Rubio will cleverly lay out the CIA story so that nobody really understands the real reason for what is happening, except you. You will know because your TV is still turned off. In fact, it has a very large bookcase in front of it and can only be reached with the aid of a front-end loader. Good for you.
Tonight, we have a very special show featuring Dr. Alan Solarian, a Washington psychiatrist who's currently living more or less in exile in Athens, Greece. And it's a three-part interview. We'll be having one segment in each of the first three half hours of our show. And, well, without further ado, I'm going to start up the interview that I recorded earlier with Dr. Solarian. I'm very pleased to welcome to our show Dr. Alan Solarian, formerly from Washington, D.C. Dr. Solarian is a psychiatrist who is now living in Greece, and he'll be telling us why that happened. And welcome to the show, Alan.
Thank you, Chuck. Thank you for the invitation.
Well, I'm pleased and honored to have you on the show. And you know, where I just gave a little description of who you are, I'd like you to tell our listeners in more detail who you are and you know, what has happened to you in the recent years.
As you know, I'm a psychiatrist and did my training at George Washington University Hospital, where I was the chief resident, and then I entered practice in Washington at a very successful and lucky, I would say, life and career in Washington as a respected doctor. I had the privilege to serve as the chief consultant to the FBI for 5 years. I was also honored as a reviewer for New England Journal of Medicine, in addition to teaching at George Washington University as a professor for 20 years. And so I had the right credentials, I would say, to be a decent doctor in Washington. Suddenly, in 2011, my life changed because a small army of DEA and FBI and IRS agents attacked my office and home. The rest is history. It took several years, several million dollars. I ended up bankrupt, losing my license, and then ending up in prison. Solitary confinement, punishment, torture, rape, and I escaped U.S. I love my country, my home, my wife, my kids are there. I come to visit, but now, for practical reasons, I live in Athens, Greece, which I love. So this is a brief summary. Do you want me to continue, or you'll ask a question?
Just go right ahead and tell us a little more.
The key thing is all these things happened for one simple reason. Officials, including judges, were unethical and did not follow the laws. And there is nothing I could do about it. I did not realize it. I had the best lawyers. But they, I think in retrospect, I would say, were more motivated to make money, and they used me and my brother, who was supporting my finances, as ATM machines. And they just focused on billing, 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 but not confronting the government about the crimes they were committing, because they blackmailed. They terrorized witnesses. Just one example, a sweet lady, the story I say again and again, Linda Mullins, a Virginian, on false charges, she was arrested, imprisoned, and blackmailed to lie about me and say that she had sex with me for drugs. This wonderful woman refused to stay in prison. When she came out, they took her 7-year-old daughter away for a couple of months. She still stuck to her guns. She's an angel. She's an angel. That's all I'm going to say. Because when I told my wife this story, she said, she's a stupid. If I were her, I would have lied. Okay? And this is the kind of dirty tricks that DEA play. They beat up my patient, Don Kirk, from a town, War, West Virginia. I hope you listen to the show. War, West Virginia, Don Kirk, a wonderful guy with chronic pain I was treating. He was falsely accused of a traffic violation and savagely beaten. But here is high-tech and wonderful story. A 12-year-old bystander films this whole episode, the savage beating. This tape ends up in my office, in my hands. I turn it over to my attorneys. Nothing happened. They never showed it to the prosecutor. These are the things that made me lose faith in the system. Nothing can explain this kind of awful things. Government has endless money to bribe and blackmail humans. They found 3 doctors to lie, to commit perjury under oath. And we proved them until the last second, at the risk of going bankrupt. I spent every single penny because I trusted my government, because I trust justice and fairness. The hell with it. I was stupid. I should not have spent my money, because there is no such thing. When DEA makes up their mind that somebody is going to go to prison, that person goes to prison. This is why 20,000 American doctors ended up losing their licenses and in poverty because of terror, intimidation. How is it possible for 10,000 doctors in the last 30 years to be drug dealers? Why would any doctor go to medical school to become a drug dealer? We can make much more money through other ways. This is the insanity of our laws, but it's not just the laws. We just have too many unethical officials. Imagine Judge Dean, Administrative Judge Dean. I'm talking to you, Judge Dean. I hope you listen to the show. God damn it. You were wrong not to rule on my case. You refused to do your ethical job, Judge Dean. Hear me. Because by not ruling on my case, you forced me to bankruptcy. And why? Because one of the key witnesses told you that he lied under oath. That's perjury. You should have ended the trial right then. You didn't. So other thieves, other liars continued to lie, and I lost my license and ended up in prison to get raped. Shame on you, Judge Dean. That's all. I'm not all, but you see, I'm very passionate and I'm very angry because not only because of my pain, 7 people died. They died because they lost the successful treatment that they were receiving. It was interrupted. And luckily, 3 of these cases, I would say, were being reviewed by the DC Board of Medicine. I thought, this is great. This is the way to actually educate my fellow doctors and the DC board. Because 2 of these patients, all 3 patients, called me before their death. One guy, William Mullins from Virginia, called me 1 year after my office closed to find out that I was still bankrupt and I was not coming back. The same afternoon, he blew his brains out. Another patient, Joseph Nasser from Colorado, begged me to save him. How can I save? No license, going bankrupt. I said, son, I'm so sorry for your pain. And he was suicidal. I said, son, please go to the nearest emergency room. And he went to an emergency room. They did not admit him. He went to a mountain cave and he cut his wrist and he died. He bled to death. Now, these are cases that DC Board of Medicine heard, not from me, but the records. When I told the board, I said, look, you have blood in your hand. They laughed. It's not a laughing matter. People died because of indifference of the system and the unethical conduct of doctors and judges and lawyers. This is not us. This is not America. We're much better than this. We're much better evolved. This is savage. This is Alabama 1920, lynching blacks. This is what it is. And this happened in 2014 in Washington, D.C., to the former chief psychiatric consultant to the FBI. Shame on you, Judge. Shame on you, Judge Dean. One day, I would like to have a face-to-face talk so I can spit at you. I will spit at you. You're not a human. You're savage. Give your law degree back.
Thank you for that impassioned description, and we will continue that in our next segment, and I look forward to that.
Thank you.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving, and that resisting the American Empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Coming up in the next half hour, we will hear from Frank Cordero in Des Moines, followed by more from Dr. Alan Solarian from Athens, Greece. Please stay tuned to Revolution Radio, the listener-sponsored alternative to the lies presented elsewhere every day. And remember, go to revolution.radio or freedomslips.com and use the donate button. That's what it's there for.
Some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Travels to Earth through the rainbow crystal bubbles from the furthest reaches of space and time, across the dimensions, through the elements, and in harmony with the colors of the universe. Through her mastery of abstract stream of consciousness malapropisms, she weaves a web of comic, satiric, cosmic conversation. Her subjects can range from Norman, the goose next door, to astrology and earth changes, and into the deep recesses of the soul matrix. She holds a wealth of knowledge on herbs, plants, and astrology. Join Mona and her guests on Adventures of a Feral Hippie as she touches the earthly radio waves 5 days a week at 2 p.m. Monday to Friday on Studio B at Revolution Radio.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-888-888-888. 877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendovite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And so, yeah, tonight our New American Dream Company presents excerpts from a speech given by Harold Pinter while accepting the Nobel Prize for Literature 2005. His talk was entitled Art, Truth, and Politics. Harold Pinter. Politicians, on the evidence available to us, are interested not in truth, but in power and in the maintenance of that power. To maintain that power, it is essential that people remain in ignorance, that they live in ignorance of the truth, even the truth of their own lives. What surrounds us, therefore, is a vast tapestry of lies upon which we feed. The crimes of the United States have been systematic, constant, vicious, remorseless, but very few people have actually talked about them. You have to hand it to America. It has exercised a quite clinical manipulation of power worldwide, while masquerading as a force for universal good. It's a brilliant, even witty, highly successful act of hypnosis. I put to you that the United States is without doubt the greatest show on the road. Brutal, indifferent, scornful, and ruthless it may be, but it is also very clever. It's a winner. You don't need to think. Just lie back on the cushion. The cushion may be suffocating your intelligence and your critical faculties, but it's very comfortable. Harold Pinter, while accepting the Nobel Prize for Literature 2005, his talk was entitled Art, Truth, and Politics. And our next guest of the show is Frank Cordero. Frank Cordero joins us from Des Moines, Iowa, the Des Moines Catholic Worker. Frank is a former Catholic priest. He founded this Catholic Worker many decades ago. He also served time in prison, county jails, his reward for fighting against the United States military machine. And now we're going to hear the conversation between Chuck Gregory and Frank Cordero.
Yo, Chuck.
Hello, Frank.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm pretty good. How about you?
Well, we're in the middle of, you know, this, we're coming on the downside of a very, very cold,
I know.
Cold spell.
How cold did it get?
Well, in Iowa, you know, in Des Moines, I mean, it only got down to like, the worst was like 20 below or something.
Yeah.
But the folks in the Chicago area and Minnesota area getting clobbered.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but we're still having, people come and they get to the house and then they don't leave, of course, because, you know, if you're going to get out in the weather, you're going to stay wherever you go,
yeah,
which is great.
Sure.
And we get a lot of, we're doing a lot of shelter work and feeding a lot of folks. Jess took off to Minneapolis to pick up Reverend Bob Cook, who's coming back from El Salvador.
Wow.
And, she's called and she says, it's really bad. They've, on Highway 80, lots of snow and freeze and people falling off the highway. So she's crawling up to the airport. Gosh. So, and who knows if the it's going to get way below zero, you know, into the teens up there tonight easily. And then it's supposed to taper off. And believe it or not, they tell us that it'll be almost 50 on Sunday. 50 degrees.
Boy.
Can you believe that?
Yeah.
What a crazy world we're living in.
Won't that get people sick?
Yeah.
Back and forth like that?
Well, it's a, I guess it's the new normal.
I guess so.
And it's the world we're bequeathing our kids. because a lot of this is human-made, human-influenced. Yeah, these things we know. But we're making the best of it. How are things in Florida?
Well, it's we've been fine. I mean, it might have gotten down into the 40s one night. You know, that felt real cold to us, but, you know, it's not dangerous. It's not, you know, anything like what you were going through.
Sure.
Mike, yeah. On the other hand, said it was minus 30 yesterday morning.
Oh, yeah. He's up higher and further north than we are.
That's
whoa.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just a whole different scene. Yeah, real dangerous. So luckily, it's not going to, I mean, it's coming and it's going. It's moving relatively soon.
Yeah.
Only a couple of days hovering over, at least in this area here. If you can't get outdoors, I've been doing a lot of cooking. I'm cooking for the next 2 days. So I've already got all my cooking done.
In fact,
I overcooked because I cooked for more people than we needed simply because I couldn't get out of the house.
Right.
So sometimes things like that, it just claustrophobia.
You never know, if power went out or something, if you were unable to cook, now you at least you have something ready.
Sure. And it reminds me really close to how very vulnerable we are to the utility systems that are all oil-based and electrical-based. And the fragility of our lives, like a few days off the grid, broken, being nothing but panic. And depending on the weather, life-threatening conditions for millions. It's not that inconceivable that we live very closely to an endemic kind of situation.
Indeed.
Either through utilities or through disease or just through social breakdown.
Right.
Yeah, it's some strange times we're living in.
It is indeed. They are indeed.
So it's, and I'm again. I know I probably shared this the great uncle syndrome, or are we just two old guys who are like grandfathers, and we think the world's going to hell because we're grandfathers, and even Socrates thought the young kids were out of control, and that there were no more morals or values in Athens in his day. So. Are we just old guys like that, fostering this, sage old wisdom? And, I'm all right with that. I don't mind following generations and the wisest of the wisest who come to the conclusion, we're really fucking up and we ought to do better.
Yeah, right.
I mean, I'm all there. I mean, I'm already committed to that message. I just would like to, I want to be a little more hopeful, because the species is a whole different game. And as I've said before on this program, we are, baby boomers are like the first real generation of human beings who lived their whole lives totally with the awareness that with nuclear weapons, we can destroy ourselves. No other human beings ever had that kind of capability. The mechanisms. And now, three generations later, now we are faced. Hey, hold on, I'll just work with.
It's stuck around the back. Around the back. Yeah.
Thanks, son. No problem. That's all right. I'm caught up in my perch here. Personing the door. It's got to go around the back. All right, interruptions. As I was pondering the existence of the planet, at least not the planet, like the very 50-mile, little skin, very small, thin skin layer on this rock going through the universe. We have to fuck it up consciously. Yeah. And I don't believe that's what we're meant to do. Open to some great stuff. For example, one of our community members, Rainey, is a Krishna person who loves to praise the name of Krishna.
It's
part of their And I got nothing against praising God's name in any language.
Exactly.
Is what we need to do.
Yeah.
And it hooks in to, and these folks are vegetarians, they're nonviolent, and there's ways as Catholic workers we can stretch and say there's authenticity to almost every movement if they dummy down by that meaning do the works of mercy, live
Absolutely.
With the poor in community.
Absolutely.
Then any tradition you bring into that circle and worship or pray or sing heartfelt and sincerely will only do you good.
Yes. That's
so that's a very different thing than saying whose tradition is the better. I'm suggesting that to where you are when you are practicing a tradition, location, location, location. Makes the difference.
So
it's
right.
the same
yes.
in the Bible. It's the
yep.
same in putting your faith on the line. It's how a new reading of what it means to be following God has to look like. And it's many, many forms. I wouldn't limit it at all, except to say it cannot be pro-rich. It cannot yeah. be pro-war. It cannot be pro-U.S. empire. Simply put.
Amen.
Well, how's that for a deep thinking in a deep frozen
yes,
Des Moines,
indeed.
Iowa?
Thank you, Frank. Stay
All right,
warm.
Jack, God bless.
All right. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
This is me. I apologize for raising my voice sometimes. But
no,
this topic gets under my skin. It's,
of course.
It's, I'm sensitive.
Yeah.
I'm sensitive. It gets under my skin because I remember not my own pain, the suffering of other human beings, these
yeah.
voices,
it's,
people calling
horrible.
Me on the phone and saying, I'm ready to shoot myself and
right.
doing it. This is not theater. This is not drama. This is real life.
Yes. I have... In my life, there have been at least three occasions where I turned out to be the last person someone talked to before they killed themselves, and I didn't know it was going to happen. It was a horrible shock, and I had tried to say the right things, and I'm, you know, it's something that they do. It's not something I could have controlled, but still, it was a very hard thing. And, you know, I'm not a professional like you were, so it's...
But, Chuck, there is a very big difference. Very, very big difference. The people who committed suicide, they were in desperate shape because they had effective treatments that stabilized
right.
their lives.
And
they were doing very well under my care for 10
yeah.
years.
Yeah.
So suddenly they realized that they will continue being miserable, possibly for the rest of their lives.
Mm.
And they did not want to go back to where they were 10 years ago or 5 years ago.
Oh.
That is the difference. This is why
they
these did. People
okay.
did not want to die. So I call this government-sponsored reckless suicide. Government and the D.C. board and Judge Dean, I hold them responsible. These people were not going to die.
Yes.
And every case I have documented, not every detail is documented in my book, but in my files, they are documented, and these are real stories. I will tell you a story of
mm-hmm.
a wonderful woman. Her name is Solange. She gave me, she was a generous, kind, and very wealthy woman and was very impressed by my center, though donated $100,000 to my center. Okay?
Yeah.
Because nobody had done, I think, to pat me on the back, the magic I had done for her. She had a treatment refractory depression that nothing responded. And one of the dirty secrets of psychiatry is if somebody does not respond to shock treatment and all other chemical cocktails, they still have a chance with methadone or something like methadone. Because endorphins, or what we call endorphin agonists, things like heroin, are the best antidepressants around. Okay? So many of my cocktails, medication combinations, include some kind of what I call endorphin agonist, methadone, and so on. Okay? This is well known. This is not my discovery. This is in medical literature. I have written hundreds of, not hundreds, but dozens of articles about this. This is well recognized. This is it. 70% of my practice were for people with treatment-resistant depressions and mood disorders.
Right.
Only 30% of my patients were pain patients. And so everybody suffered, not pain patients, because no other doctor had the balls to prescribe what I was doing because they were reasonably afraid. Instead, I explained to every family, every patient, including to the pharmacist, look, I believe in Hippocrates. I believe in Hippocrates and doing the right job and prescribing the right medication. I even printed this on my prescription pad saying, if any pharmacist has a question about why I am prescribing, please give me a call. Refusing my prescription without a call is unethical. This is what I printed. Okay. And now, this woman, Solange, after I went down, she went to California, to Betty Ford Center, Menninger, for about a year, year and a half, trying to find a program that would stabilize her. After a year and a half and spending perhaps $250,000 to psychiatric clubs, I would say, return to Washington. Here is the bottom line. Within a week, in a coded way, she let me know that she was going to commit suicide. I was too slow, too stupid, too distracted to realize. I should have, because she told me she gave up her pets. She said she's moving. You know, that's a very good sign. And the last session, she hugged me and kissed me and said, thank you, thank you. I said, hey, I'm not dying. I'm not going away. You're only moving, because her lie was, white lie, she was moving to New York City.
Right.
I said, Solange, look, I will not treat you. I cannot treat you because now I'm not allowed to prescribe these medications, but I am your friend. I'm in your corner. Okay. And the following day, she died. She killed herself with an overdose. And now, this is government-sponsored reckless suicide. This is what I would say. This woman had everything from money to brain. Oh, she happened to be a doctor. These stories are real, okay? So it's not just somebody telling me that they're going to commit suicide and killing themselves, that my feeling guilty as a doctor, that's not it. It's guilt mixed with indignation, righteous indignation at the system. What else? After they shut down my office, my attorney, Bernie Grimm, and I had multiple press conferences at National Press Club in Washington. I warned the D.C. Board of Medicine. I warned everybody. I said, this is insane. This is reckless. In the see, if we don't do something, people are going to die. Believe me, I was not expecting that 7 patients would actually commit suicide. 7 people in the next 12 months committed suicide, and nobody died because of withdrawal or because of this, that. No. Everybody found a doctor or a methadone center or some other center to take care of them. Mm-hmm. Despite that, because of all kinds of bureaucratic causes, their system was disrupted and they were miserable. Because to take methadone, imagine, you have to go to a methadone clinic every day. Oh. Can you imagine a diabetic patient who needs insulin being forced to a clinic to receive her insulin every day? Mm. That means you can't go to work or you will be late.
Right.
This is insane. This is what we do to addicts.
Yeah.
We make the, and then they cannot, they also cannot travel out of town. Hmm. This is slavery. Yeah. This is slavery. This is insane. This is what DEA created. This is what we have in America. No other country does this. In Canada, in England, if you're a heroin addict, they give you injections if you wish. Heroin, IM, intramuscular, long-acting, safe, wonderful. Bam, that's the solution. Very easy. How come we do not allow heroin injections here? They're monthly because methadone clinics make a lot of money. Okay, but I don't blame money. I'm a capitalist. I have nothing against people making money and getting rich. All I say, don't lie, don't cheat. Don't lie about people with addiction or depression. They're not our enemy. They are us. America is a big country.
Yes.
And 1/3 of Americans have some kind of pain or psychiatric issue. 1/3 of the population need controlled substances. If you make controlled substances impossible to get, what do you want people to do? This is the trap, insane trap. And this can be fixed overnight. Mm-hmm. Open up methadone clinics. Let every doctor prescribe if they know what they're doing. Do not force people and addicts or other unfortunate souls with broken brains to wait at a clinic every day for 1 hour and not to travel. These are inhumane tactics and strategies. This is why we have a heroin crisis and suicide epidemic. Mm-hmm. This is it, man-made. I blame my fellow doctors. They don't have enough balls. They're too busy playing golf. Period. They lost. They lost their common sense. They forgot who Hippocrates is. I was tortured. I was placed in solitary confinement in Butner prison, the dungeon. For what? I will never know. But I spent and I slept in my own shit. In a dungeon, in a small solitary cell. I will not put my dog in it.
Yes.
Now, when I came out from the confinement, I asked my doctor, I said, have you taken the oath, the Hippocratic oath? He says, no. I said, but are you familiar with the Hippocratic oath? He says, why do you ask? I said, because I was being tortured. I was sleeping with my shit and urine. in solitary confinement, and you did not come to see me once for 2 weeks. Mm. Is this ethical? Because the judge sergeant from Virginia, Abington, Virginia, told me, Dr. Solarian, look, there are reports about your insanity, so I'm going to send you to Butner Prison for a psychiatric evaluation. Huh. I raised my hand. I said, Sergeant, Your Honor, look, I'm not suicidal or homicidal. I don't belong to a hospital. Okay? She overruled me, still shipped me there. So now I ask the judge, as I asked my doctor, my psychiatrist, do you know who Hippocrates is? How can you send a 69-year-old
Barbara Jean Lindsay, the Cosmic Oracle. If you have questions about your past lives or future plans, need answers from the cosmos about your love life or career, or just want to keep your finger on the pulse of the planet, check out my show, The Cosmic Oracle, here on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com.
It is no secret that the so-called mainstream media is best described as controlled propaganda. Countless news stories are either totally ignored or spun with half-truths, and because of this, essential facts and vital information are often compromised. Join Dr. Ott every Friday night on Studio B at 10 p.m. Eastern and learn why The Story Behind the Story was nominated for a Peabody Award in its second year of producing unparalleled broadcasting excellence in 1997. That is, if you really care about learning the truth.
Wadia will remain a dictatorship. Or be quiet. Why are you guys so anti-dictators? Imagine if America was a dictatorship. You could let 1% of the people have all the nation's wealth. You could help your rich friends get richer by cutting their taxes and bailing them out when they gamble and lose. You could ignore the needs of the poor for healthcare and education. Your media would appear free, but would secretly be controlled by one person and his family. You could wiretap phones. You could torture foreign prisoners. You could have rigged elections. You could lie about why you go to war. You could fill your prisons with one particular racial group, and no one would complain. You could use the media to scare the people into supporting policies that are against their interests.
Tune in Monday through Friday, 4 p.m. Eastern Time, for Liberation Nation with Deacon John, where America comes to hear the truth.
I know this is hard for you Americans to imagine, but please try.
Ohio Exo Politics will be on from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A. Mark Schneider will have guests on that will discuss many important topics, including the state of the world today. However, much of the show will be dedicated to the writings of Edward Albert Meyer. Let me read a short passage from one of his writings. Love is the highest principle of creation, and through it, everything exists in absolute logic. All of nature in its indescribable splendor is nothing but the love of creation, which is expressed visibly. The love of creation is everywhere, because without it, nothing at all would be able to exist. Please join Mark on Ohio Exopolitics from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern on Studio A.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com. Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
Our next segment will be the third of three pieces by Dr. Alan Solarian, who's been joining us from Athens, Greece. And I think we have learned a lot, and he has some more interesting things to tell us right about now. Okay, we welcome back for this third segment of our interview with Dr. Alan Solarian. You've given us an awful lot to think about so far, and I would just like you to continue. We have another 10 or 12 minutes to talk, and I'm going to leave it wide open for you.
Thank you. I think the biggest issue that we're facing as a country is the issue of integrity and honesty and institutional integrity. This is the main problem that's confronting us that can explain why we locked up and marginalized 20,000 doctors in the last 30 years. Our lies are getting bigger. And our government and our officials, our doctors, our newspaper reporters do not seem to have the language or the method to confront the big lies. We killed JFK and his family. It's time for us to say, look, it was a mistake for CIA to kill JFK. It was a mistake for Lyndon Johnson to participate in this. It was a horrible mistake for others in the system to contribute to this coup d'etat. It's not a good idea for democracy for a vice president to kill the president and then go free. This is what we did. This thing has been proven. I have written it, but I'm a student of this. James Fetzer and many, many people, wonderful guys, have proven. We still have a fake museum in Dallas, sixth floor museum. It's a fake museum promoting the lies from 50 years ago. I switch. We have another fake museum called Smithsonian in Washington that shows our wonderful visits to the moon. This is a lie. Come on, okay, we had to do it to compete with Soviets and communism, I understand. Fine, but look, 50 years passed. And why do I say this? Because if you don't believe me first, go and check what I'm saying. Neil Armstrong said, I did not see any stars from the moon. He also said, truth has many layers. He also gave a moon rock to the Dutch prime minister. That's on exhibit in Amsterdam today in a museum. This moon rock is fake. Isn't this enough? Kubrick made all the movies. He confessed it's on YouTube. A week later, he was dead. Does this say something? What else? Others who confronted this big lie died. Thomas Paine, William Cooper. This is not right. Just recently, January, I think, to this month, I think, 2019, Chinese send Change 4. That's the Chinese mission to the moon. It collected samples from the moon. The samples prove that Kubrick was right because they don't match anything from the Apollo. There are NASA painting images, many images that show three astronauts walking on moon surface. For all these years, NASA said only two astronauts walked, the third stayed in the mother capsule. I don't have to say anything else. Common sense says, come on, it's time. Why to lie about those things? I call this integrity. We don't need this. We made mistakes. Let's move on. If we can lie about big things, then of course it's not a big deal to make doctors look like drug dealers. What happened to me is a very good example, but I can give you names and names and names. People I know in person, they were not drug dealers. William Hurwitz, a wonderful internist, he went blind in prison. I only got raped. I think it's raped better than going blind. This guy lost his eye in prison. And he spent 7 years in prison. Silvio Scovici. Okay, they stole millions from him. After 7 years, I think he's the only guy against whom government dropped charges. Uh-huh. Okay, and only because I took over, I'm giving myself credit, because his big-time lawyers were recommending him a plea bargain to spend several years in prison. Mm. I said, no way. Because this is the government strategy. Terrorize people, terrorize, make them wait until they cannot take it anymore. Mm. Otherwise, 20,000 times, government cannot win 20,000 times. Are these communist elections? But they can convince the public. Show me a single exception or single inaccuracy in what I'm saying. These are the things, Chuck, I wrote in my book. My book, yes. The New Tuskegee Persecution of Pain Doctors in America, now on Amazon and on Kindle. This is, you know, I'm not even, this is not for money. If money comes, I hope some money comes. It's for pain doctors.
Yes.
So our enemy, if I have time, I will emphasize it, is yes. Lack of integrity. Lack of integrity. I know Berkeley. I know UCLA. I know Harvard. I know Yale. I know Princeton. I know MIT. They know we did not go to the moon. They also know doctors are not drug dealers. Hmm. New York Times know this. Science know this. And how come they are not saying this? You think New York Times does not know that 9/11 was an inside job? That New York City Fire Department pulled the 7th building, WTC. Mm-hmm. They know. I don't see them saying this is wrong, because this proves that this was an inside job. Mm-hmm. And obviously 3,500 innocent people died. Okay, I don't think CIA meant it. But mistakes happen. Mm-hmm. We should at least face it the way JFK did after Bay of Pigs. He says, I'm the president. I take full responsibility. This is what I am expecting from my president. Mm-hmm. And this is what I'm expecting from New York Times. Are you the old Moscow Times or Nazi News? Or are we America? We are America. I am an American, and I'm shouting like this for my grandchildren. I'm already dead. You cut off my balls and threw me out like trash. This is for future of Americans, because these kinds of lies cannot last forever, sir. Wake up, Mr. Trump. Wake up, Judge Dean and Judge Sargent and all other clowns who are making money through the legal system. Wake up, New York Times. Wake up, science. Wake up, JAMA and AMA. Wake up. If you care, if you're an American, wake up, because nobody else is going to save America. We have nuclear bombs, and we'll say, if you don't shut up, we'll nuke you.
Wow. It's this has been an eye-opening discussion. I thank you for joining us on our show. And you mentioned the new Tuskegee, which is available on Amazon. Are there websites or Google searches or anything that you would like to recommend for our listeners in closing?
I think my blog, where I vent my observations, is Dr. Alan Solarian. blogspot.com. But if somebody reads the new Tuskegee Persecution of Pain Doctors and convey this information, everything else is on YouTube and on Amazon. Mm. So thank you. Thank you, Chuck.
Well, it was an honor having you on our show, and maybe we will talk some other time in the future.
I would love to. I'll be back anytime you say.
Well, thanks again. Very much appreciated.
Thank you.
Well, once again, thank you, Dr. Alan Solarian. And that book he was mentioning is The New Tuskegee. And you can find it on Amazon. You can search for The New Tuskegee, search for Dr. Alan Solarian, and you'll see lots of books. He's a very talented, and we were very lucky to have him on our show. Our next guest of the evening is Philip Ferrigio. Phil joins us each week from Port Orange, Florida. And Phil's work appears all over the internet, probably maybe a dozen different places. And throw his name into Google. That's Philip Ferrigio with two R's and two G's. And right now we're going to hear what he has to say with It's the Umpire, Stupid.
The old lady in the window. There are so many diverse memories to a mind that has traveled through the decades like an endless wind. Being a baby boomer who just cannot accept the utter surreal, bad aftertaste of our current comic book empire, one desires to retreat into the distant past. This past, of course, had its own times of despair, but for a youth of those days, it seemed better. Such is the nature of this nostalgic look back. The autumn of 65 found this writer living in what was then likely the greatest place to be a youth, and that would be Brooklyn, New York City, in the fabulous neighborhood called Sheepshead Bay. We didn't actually live by Sheepshead Bay, where the fishing boats and great seafood restaurants were, yet close enough to ride one's bicycle to it. Avenue U was my stomping grounds, filled with a slew of mom-and-pop shops of all kinds. My neighborhood consisted of a mix of Italian-American families, my own, Irish-American families, Jewish-American families, and occasionally some other ethnic groups of no great number. Looking back, segregation was in practice in those days, as still is the case now in most urban areas, and seeing a black face meant you saw either a cleaning lady, a janitor, or a store helper. Sad but true. When I got home from school late each afternoon, I rushed around the corner to the World Telegram and Sun newspaper home delivery office to pick up my papers. I had secured one of the best routes because I was now older than most of the other kids, being already 15 and soon to be 16. My route began right there at the office, which was Bedford and Avenue U, and strolled right down the alphabetical ladder to Quentin Road, which would have been Avenue Q. Proudly, I rode a used but still in great condition Swin Black Phantom bike, which was big and powerful, replete with its own shock absorber. It did not travel as fast as the new three-speed English or Italian racers, as they call them, but it was reliable and rode smooth as hell. This one November afternoon, the gray skies and chilly weather seemed to go right through you. I had my heavy jacket on, and my head was warmed by the old reliable woolen beanie cap, as they called them in those days. I had folded my papers at the office so as to more easily toss them from my bike at the stoops of the one- and two-family homes on Bedford Avenue. The quicker I finished, the better to get home and start my homework, which usually took 2 hours each day. As I went up Bedford Avenue, really making good time, I came to this one-family home near the corner of Avenue S. In the front window sat this old lady by a desk in full view from the street. She seemed to be lost in some deep concentration with a pencil in one hand and a cigarette in the other. Figuring to get a better tip, I parked my Black Phantom and brought the paper to a doorway. She looked up and, waving a hand through the window, invited me in. The door was open. Inside now, I handed her the paper. Man, it sure felt warm inside. "Why don't you sit down for a minute, young man, and warm yourself," she said. I did. I asked her what she was doing, a really stupid question, as I could see she had a crossword puzzle in front of her. "The only reason I get the Sunday paper is for the Sunday Times is for their crossword puzzle," she answered, while still locked into it, while slowly dragging on her Chesterfield plain tip. The manner in which she was apparently enjoying her smoke caused me to take the risk and ask her for one. Now, I really did not even like cigarettes, but at 15, my parents would go crazy if they saw me smoking, so why not give it a shot? I asked if I could have one, and she said, "Help yourself." But it's a nasty habit for someone as young as you. I lit up and sat there with her for what seemed an eternity to a young man like me. She liked it when I helped her with the puzzle and remarked at how clever I was. "You must be good in school," she said. I nodded in the affirmative. When the phrase Taft-Hartley came up as a correct answer on a puzzle, the old lady turned to me. "Do you know what that means?" she asked. I did not. "Well, Philip, the crazy conservative Congress with that hat salesman Truman going along made damn sure the striking workers got another roadblock in their efforts." Then she took a minute or two and gave me a quick education on all labor matters. I jumped in by telling her about my dad, a longshoreman, and now that she mentioned it, he did use that phrase half-heartedly to explain to my mom and grandmother why his strike was delayed last year. Now it all made sense. Well, the 10 minutes I had planned on staying there ran to a half an hour as I noticed the skies getting a bit darker. My paper route was only half completed. I left most of the cigarette in her ashtray, thanked her as she thanked me for bringing her paper to her, and I hustled out. As I rode on, I was so thrilled that this old lady, much older than my parents, had treated me like an equal, even for but 10 minutes or 20 minutes. From the first encounter with that lady in the window, we became friends. Each day, I would park my bike and bring the paper in for her. We would sit and chat about whatever, share a smoke, which I never did inhale, and I'd be on my way. As November moved into December, she and I would share information on our lives. She had a great deal of anger for what was going on in Vietnam. We have no business being in some rice paddy and killing or being killed for what? Nothing, she said. Being 15, I honestly never really noticed what was happening in Vietnam. That revelation would come about in about 2 or 3 years later. The old lady would also tell me about her son and what he was doing now, and I would do the same about my parents, etc. On most afternoons, she would have a plate filled with cookies for me. On bitter cold days, she would make a cup of tea as well. Interestingly, I never asked her her first name, only knowing her last name from my route sheet. She called me Philip, and that was that. After the Christmas vacation, I decided to find a part-time job that would pay me better, and besides, paper delivery was for kids. I was now at the ripe old age of 16. I did miss my visits with the old lady, but sometimes out of sight, out of mind for kids my age. It must have been the following winter, January of 66, that I did find myself going by her house. She had a humongous snowstorm, at least 15 inches, and there was money to be made shoveling snow. My pal Big Frank and I took to the streets, you had trouble anyway walking the sidewalks, to make some money shoveling. I remember that day so well. It was a blue sky, sunny, freezing cold Thursday that felt like a Saturday, and everybody was home. Not much work, and schools closed as well. Big Frank and I figured we'd hit Bedford Avenue with those bigger homes and lots more driveways and stoops. When we got across from the old lady's house, I decided to go across and say hello. There was no one in her window, and a guy next door was out shoveling his walk. I called out to him if he knew the old lady who lived there. Oh, Mrs. Nelson. Nah, kid, she passed away nearly a year ago. I asked him how. Well, if you knew her then you knew she practically went to bed with a ciggy hanging from her mouth. That's what did her in. Too bad. Nice old lady. As I crossed back to catch up with Big Frank, the wet from my eyes was beginning to crystallize. And as I grew up more, went to college, and began to learn about things that they don't tell you on TV or in the newspapers, I always thought of that old lady in the window. She was more than just cool, as we refer to people who were above the crowd. That old lady smoking a Chesterfield plain tip with me was outright exceptional. Thank you.
This message brought to you by the Foundation for a New American Dream. Did we go to the moon? Maybe, maybe not. But just like Voldemort and so many discussions that are prohibited in America, it is one that cannot be named. Was 9/11 an inside job? Stop. See, like that, you can't talk about that. Was Paul Wellstone assassinated? A roll of the eyes. You are sent to Siberia by your brother, your mother, and your cousin. Disapparated from the Thanksgiving dinner table. Poof. No one can now see you or talk to you. You are a non-person. Might as well go smoke in the garage. Did FDR provoke Pearl Harbor in order to get into World War II? Did the government burn men, women, and children alive at Waco? Was the government involved in the Oklahoma City bombing? Are so-called terror plots and mass murders such as Aurora, Newtown, dozens of other terrorist events, Boston, actually engineered by the FBI and CIA, NSA, in order to bring about a zeitgeist of fear and scare Americans into accepting a police state? What the hell are chemtrails? What does the government know about UFOs? Why does Sirhan not remember anything about the Robert F. Kennedy shooting? Who shot Martin Luther King? James Earl Ray said he didn't do it. Evidence says the FBI and others did it. Do those questions have merit or are they preposterous?
We will never know because Brian Williams, NBC, Amy Goodman, NPR are afraid of even the question. Why? Did Bush steal the elections of 2000 and 2004? Ask these questions on any mainstream or so-called liberal website or TV show or newspaper or radio show, and you'll get laughed down. Ask it on the so-called progressive Stephen Colbert or the past Jon Stewart show. They will try to humiliate you. Why? Is it because you are truly so hilariously pathetic, or is it because they are so afraid? The foundation for a new American dream, because it's time to wake up. Your toast is ready. The bus is here. The world is on fire.
Moonrock Books. We're a group of scholars, experts, and authors who feel the world really needs saving and that resisting the American empire is the right thing to do. People are starved for truth. They are given lies. They subsist on lies, but it's not really living. People are not watching TV news. They're ceasing to read newspapers, too, because they know by now they will not find it there. The biggest battle being fought anywhere is with information. If the people can receive the truth, they will do the right thing. We are publishing the truth about Sandy Hook, about the Boston bombing, about the moon landings, about the Holocaust, and much, much more. The truth. It falls upon us to fight the empire and save the world. Join us, Moonrock Books.
Find some comfort at Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
Decentralization and bank annihilation. Bitcoin, Litecoin, MyCoin, YourCoin, blockchain, baby. Mondays at 1600 hours Eastern, Studio A.
Do you or someone you know suffer from poor circulation, shortness of breath, or chest pains? Are you looking for a more natural solution to help overcome these problems? People tell us that after just a few months taking Extendivite, their doctors have noticed unexplainable improvements in their overall health. For more information, visit heartdrop.com or call 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And tell them Nighthawk sent you, because if you call this number and tell them Nighthawk sent you, you'll get $5 off your first order at extendivite.com.
Thank you.
The opinions expressed on this radio station, its programs, and its website by the hosts, guests, and call-in listeners or chatters are solely the opinions of the original source who expressed them. They do not necessarily represent the opinions of Revolution Radio and FreedomSlips.com, its staff, or affiliates.
You're listening to Revolution Radio, FreedomSlips.com, 100% listener-supported radio, and now we return you to your host.
And now we join In Progress, another episode of The Americans. The Americans is brought to us by crisis actors of the homeland, Operation Mockingbird, Operation Northwoods, COINTELPRO, and by Kraft and Blackwater, bringing you Aurora, Tucson, Orlando, the Boston bombing, Sandy Hook, San Bernardino, Charlottesville, and so much more. The Americans dream of marshmallow clouds and lollipop lanes and TV towns, while the world wails, fists clenched, tears streaming. The Americans dream of rocket ships, fireworks, freedom, and alleluia while they sleep on through the alarm, the house of fire. It's true that the newcomers to Washington, D.C. are different than ever before, but after all is said and done, they are Americans. Construction is underway for the wall around the Washington, D.C. Beltway to drain the swamp with an impressive culvert system and to separate the White House, the FBI, the CIA, the Pentagon, the Congress, and the Washington Press Corps from normal human beings. Scattered around the job site are the wooden boards to be tacked up all around the new wall with a message, let me put it this way. While 9/11 was a U.S. deep state operation, probably subcontracted for execution to the Israelis, the entire Washington swamp has been since 9/11 accomplished after the fact by helping to maintain the cover-up. If this is brought into light, thousands of political careers are going to crash and burn into the scandal. Well, the nuts have really arrived in Atlanta, Georgia for the Super Bowl at Mercedes-Benz Stadium. President Cosmo Nut stands on the balcony of the hotel in his Joseph Stalin footy pajamas with his coffee, looking out over the gigantic parking lot. When does this shindig get started, he said. I think in a few days, shouted Imelda Nut from inside the room. A few days, said Cosmo Nut. Why are we here so early? You wanted to come, dear, said Imelda. I must be crazy, he said. Yes, dear. Meanwhile, Fred, from the basement office of keeping all what really should be kept secret, still secret from Americans, and the child left behind, are back in the big White House in the basement maintenance of secrets office, looking at old boxes of secrets. She began going through them, and she said the names out loud, softly. Philip Marshall, Michael Hastings, Mary Pinchot Meyer, Jack Ruby, Michael Connell, Dorothy Kilgallen, Barry Jennings, William Melvin Hicks, Paul McCartney, John Lennon, Hunter S. Thompson, Gary Webb, Paul Wellstone. There are more, said Fred, the maintenance man of secrets. More? A lot more. Stay tuned next week for another episode of The Americans, when we will find President Cosmo Nut on Sesame Street, teaching Big Bird and Elmo how to draw dollar signs, tanks, and boobs on a yellow legal pad. Well, it's been another long week in Moonrock Lake, Ohio, my hometown at the end of the empire. It was this family, the Mars family, who once lived in Moonrock Lake, and then they moved to the Twin Cities, so they don't live here anymore, but we have heard about them. We always hear. You never really get away. The police siren suddenly whined as a baby who had just lost his pacifier Mary Mars put her hand to her mouth. Oh no, could that be Jerry again? Or Gerald? Gerald chasing Jerry? She thought of the two on the thin, hard carpet, rubbing their little knees raw, tipping over everything in sight. Mistakes had been made. There was no doubt of that. Perhaps the sirens were another young black boy shot by a store owner at the Mall of America. She let the thought come and go like the face of a nosy neighbor in the kitchen door. Mary sat with her hands flat on her legs and her back straight. Her bottom row of dentures came up over the top like a bulldog. Miscues, bobbled balls and diapers, and here she was, left to sit with her face in the sun and her eyes closed, trying to think about something good, something to put a nice feeling in her body, as if she had something to live for. Like the World Series of last fall, the glorious moment when she witnessed the catcher running out to tackle the pitcher and the rest of the players falling in a pile on the mound, and the old, irascible, touchy manager walking with his hat in his hand, showing his sparse gray hair, his head down, tilted to the right as always, walking over to shake the hand of the Dodgers manager. Mary had watched it on the set in one of her rooms as she cleaned. Like the forming of the lakes, a gift from the Almighty, it would not come again. Be grateful. Clean your plate. Once this was gone, that's it. Well, not for the Twins, not for the Twin Cities, not with the war between Minneapolis and St. Paul over where to build the new stadium, or whether to build it at all, or to keep the team in that hideous Technodome downtown, that huge yuppie rec room, that place that had replaced the Met, the wondrous outdoor stadium in Bloomington, where Bobby Allison and Oliva and Killer and Carew and Versailles played outdoors like neighbor kids in a backyard, with all the families from blocks around gathered in folding chairs just to see the joy on the players' faces. Now they're talking about getting rid of the team altogether. Blasphemous. Unbelievable. Somebody should be shot. But who? Whom? How could you ever, ever make sure that both got the same portions, equal treatment? A pair of twin boys, each with the same number of Cheerios in his fat hand? No, sir. Soon enough, one of them's going to lean over in his high chair and try to grab from the other guy's hand. Eventually, one gets jealous. You dress them in matching twins t-shirts and caps and socks. You work hard at it, hard, but how long can you keep it up? But mother, I can't take care of these boys all by myself forever. Mary recalled her own complaints as she had sipped iced tea on her parents' deck, looking out on Grand Avenue. Just do as much as you can, dear. Like the implacable judge in his shorts and sport shirt under his robes, with his boat ready in the courthouse parking lot, who tells the prisoner, screaming in horror, that he can't do 30 years in prison. The repetition wore her down. Wasn't the individual days. She managed to focus on the minute, the dirty diaper right in front of her. She made it through. It was when she dared to stare out, like a child at an afternoon eclipse, at the stretch of days ahead of her, that she felt dizzy. Finally, she had fallen. She lay there waiting for help to arrive. Now, with the sun on her hand, Mary looked straight ahead. Seated on the metal bench, on the steel mesh concrete overpass, Mary looked toward Minneapolis. Go west, young man, and you'll find yourself surrounded by yuppies. But the same was true in St. Paul. Was there really any difference? She looked down Lake Street at the coming and going streams of traffic. She looked down and stared into the eyes of a big success driving a minivan who had to go through Mary to get to St. Paul. She looked down the street, sighting between the two curved lines that would touch in infinity. She saw puffs of burnt smoke from the chimneys of the homes on Minnetonka Boulevard, just a right turn off Lake. The movie set neighborhood, tall, full trees and big homes and lives as unreachable as a sidewalk drawing in Mary Poppins' London, as untouchable as happiness, as kryptonite, as the antennae atop the IDS building. Mary wore her Monday, Wednesday, and Friday Robin's Egg blue uniform with a pin-on name tag. She let her heels out of her comfortable nurse's shoes, leaned forward to remove the blue and red twins windbreaker, and then pinned it under her foot to stop it from blowing away. Her black hair, pulled back into a faux youngish ponytail, was becoming gray. She thrust her head upward, closed her eyes again to feel the sun on her cheek and a slight breeze on her chin. On her head, stuck to her hair with a bobby pin, sat a green and white crocheted tam with a fuzzy green ball on top. She bought it at the Mall of America in the crocheted tam shop on the first floor, with a giant color poster covering the front window showing a tan Mary Tyler Moore in the middle of winter tossing a crocheted tam into the air between 7th and 8th Streets on Nicollet Mall downtown. One of the girls on her floor, Darlene, had said that Mary looked like Mary Tyler Moore, maybe older. Mary and Darlene cleaned together and smoked on the balcony of 2026 some days when it worked out for a break, looking down on the city. Being on the clock, there were voices in the all-city chorus, a cog in the machine, perhaps not vital, but a legitimate part. They were in on the activity, the target center, the federal prison, the velvet lawyer enclaves high up somewhere, the walkways, Dayton's, sucking in the vehicle fumes with the Minnesota air, pitching your head upward and seeing a plane headed for Chicago, hearing a cop car cry out, not having to say a word to each other. And Mary, Queen of Hilton, Darlene's other nickname, would stand up there with her tummy against the steel railing, thinking with her cigarette in hand. On Mary's way home from cleaning rooms, if she wasn't super tired and it was a gorgeous day like today, she had to do something, to get out in it, to make use of it. She would let the bus take her a ways up Lake past her regular stop to the other side of the Mississippi, into St. Paul. She'd get down at the corner of Creighton and Marshall and walk back over the river and climb the overpass that sat in the middle of the bridge, for what reason she could only guess. Did some yuppie joggers decided they needed a way to get across traffic to go over to River Road, which is where Jimmy Carter jogged once? Maybe Clinton too, but she couldn't remember for sure on that one. From the one steel bench, she could see Minneapolis, or the beginnings, or the ends, the U, the Dome, St. Joe's, the IDS, USBTC, I-94, 35W, all the letters and numbers comprising a Twin Cities codified geography. Her X-ray eyes cut through the miles of orange and red taillights and windows and bricks and graffiti and kitchen table despair from Lake Street to the Hilton. She pictured USPTC commanding one big city block, United States Penitentiary, Twin Cities. The locals called it Lake Fed. Mary pushed on her knees to stand halfway. She stepped across, turned and fell into the opposite bench, then arranged herself and saw the traffic below running right through her as if she were not there, and sat straight and strong against the hard metal back to seek the meaning of the colors of the trees along the Mississippi. She pictured St. Thomas and St. Paul Seminary, Summit Avenue, the Governor's Mansion, and St. Luke's. In her mind, she said the College of St. Thomas rather than university, as the bigwig priests would have her think. Mary had once fucked the halls of the philosophy department at night, and she liked it better as college, more special when understated. To Mary's left, the river wound tightly and disappeared. To her right, it hit a straightaway that went on and on without appearing to move at all. So wide, with beaches and woods and crime and broken glass and used condoms and elderly fishermen on the shore. The sort of variety and sensory stimulation that had driven Steve to a kind of hyper-madness. Maybe he was manic depressive. Finally, with a bit of breathing room, time to think, she wondered about that now. Mary tilted her head again to blow breath smoke. She smiled. Ha! She forced out a sound. Ha! Ah! She bellowed as the traffic noise crescendoed and nobody heard her cry. Ha! She had to laugh at her own little joke. To live in the Twin Cities and be the mother of twins. Well, there'd be lots of women who could say that, but she didn't know any. So then, her claim to fame. But then which of those mothers of twins could say they'd birthed the two most powerful men in St. Paul and Minneapolis? Well, that really could be true. Especially lately. With the best comes the worst. Who said that? Gus? Stephen? Darlene? Well, all mothers think their sons are special, don't they? Mary closed her eyes to the world and the individual vehicles passing under her. Whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. She sucked down the clear, crisp April air, fought the urge to put on her coat. Imagine she was wrapped in a nice sweater in front of a fire at Lost Lake Lodge and thought of nothing for an instant. The twins would be breaking camp from spring training soon, then opening day. Mary Mars tried to push every damn thought from her head for just 1 second. And could not. Could not for one moment escape the Twin Cities, the cities of her twins. She felt her face pucker and reached for the arm of the jacket to wipe her eye and wondered if anyone had ever told her son she loved them. Over the years, she'd kept track of them in the Pioneer Press and the Star Tribune, and she wondered how two boys from the same fertilized egg could be so different. The breeze pinned the metro section of the strib against the mesh so that Mary could see the advertisement for Chanhassen's My Fair Lady, and for one moment it made Mary sad to think of herself sitting there, a maid with nobody on a perfect Minnesota afternoon with minivan exhaust darkening her underwear. Wouldn't it be loverly, she whispered to herself. Loverly, she sighed. She was going to be a lady, she was. She was going to marry a Tommy and move into a three-story white clapboard home in the Highland neighborhood, just like her parents. She would walk with her successful husband down the sidewalks on comfortable summer nights, demurely congratulated by the clap-clap of the lawn sprinklers. They would meet friends at the Green Mill and walk over to the movie. They would stroll together, boy-boy, girl-girl, down Summit Avenue, planning their dream lives in this dream city they did not realize was a dream. Mary looked at her watch, grabbed her jacket, and pushed off the bench. She undid the bobby pin in her hair and turned to face oncoming traffic. She grabbed a tam from her head, pitched her chin and with a forced smile tossed the cap into the air, immediately putting up her hand stretched wide to catch it. A sudden wind caught the cap and pitched it over the far fence. It disappeared, down out of sight. A Donald Duck bobber sucked under by a 30-pound muskie. Mary rushed to the mesh, stuck her fingers and nose into the wire to look down at her clean white and green cap plopped in the middle of the lane, the perky fluff on top sitting like an innocent Cocker Spaniel puppy in the exit of a Dead Boys concert. Mary shoved her nose farther into the fence as she watched the two left wheels of an SUV tank, the color of gold dust, squash her hat. She watched three more big vehicles hit it, then fixed the bobby pin back into her hair, guided herself down the incline by keeping one hand on the wire walkway. And that's the news from Moonrock Lake, where all the police and soldiers are thugs, all the journalists and Democrats are cowards, and all the Homeland Security, COINTELPRO, lone gunmen are about average. And that brings us to the end of another episode of the New American Dream Radio Show. We thank you for joining us tonight. We were very fortunate to have Philip Perugio, Frank Cordero, and Dr. Alan Solarian as our guest tonight. We hope that you enjoyed it. We hope you will be back next week and every week right here on the New American Dream Radio Show on Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com. Thank you, Mike, and good night.
Thank you, Chuck, for all you did to make the show happen, the interviews, all the technical stuff, everything that you did to make the show possible. We all thank you. Please visit the New American Dream website, where you'll find information about all of our regular guests, also the show archives, newdream.us. Also, Penn Magazine, P-E-N-N, magazine.us. If you'd like to donate to the Des Moines Catholic Worker, write to the Phil Berrigan House, 713 Indiana Avenue, Des Moines, Iowa, 50314. And so good night to my friends, Chuck and Lorraine. Stay warm down there. Good night, Mrs. Calabash. Good night, Todd Beamer. Good night, Mark Bingham. Good night, Timothy McVeigh. Good night, Charlie Hebdo. Good night, Don Hawksprung. Good night, Ken Lay. Good night, Mohammed Atta. Good night, Omar Mateen. Good night, Noah Posner. Good night, Crystal Campbell. And good night, Barbara Olson, wherever you are.
I weave my way, 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 I weave my way. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. In the jungle, the mighty jungle, the lion sleeps tonight. I weave my way, 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 I weave my way. Near the village, the peaceful village, the lion sleeps tonight. Near the village, the quiet village, the lion sleeps tonight. I weave my way, 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 I weave my way. Hush, my darling, don't fear, my darling, the lion sleeps tonight. Hush, my darling, don't fear, my darling, the lion sleeps tonight. I weave my way, 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 I weave my way. Thank you, everyone, and good night.
message.
Welcome to Revolution Radio, where you, the listeners, are in charge. Here at Revolution Radio, we present 48 broadcast hours of news and information each and every day. Revolution Radio never sleeps. Revolution Radio is worldwide and borderless information. Revolution Radio is also commercial free. Revolution Radio is supported 100% by you, the listeners. And that's why we appeal to you to donate and support this station and its expenses. You can support us in many available options like archive subscriptions, our seed pack selections, or even my woodworking store. And we also even have Revolution Radio's swag at the Revolution Radio Zazzle store, in which you can get t-shirts, coffee cups, even a baby onesie. Or you can just plain donate to the cause. We cannot continue without your support, and your support is what helps pay the bills. So please, if you wish us to continue, please stop by our station support page and drop a dime on us. Revolution Radio, where information never sleeps. Safe? Do you have the necessary information to assist you in confidently living through just about any survival situation? Is survival and gardening, off-grid living, medical knowledge, or even natural or man-made EMPs on your list of personal concerns? Do you have your documents and your personal information in a safe place in your hands where you know where it is? Well, check out our preloaded EMP-proof thumb drive. Over 3 gigs of survival documents and how-tos, plus the USDA offline food preservation website, and much, much more, including a surprise bonus we just can't tell you about here. With plenty of room left over to store your most important documents, imagine if a megavirus or a computer failure took out your bank or all the